Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Let me say this before I forget it. I was going to be here Thursday evening, but I think better heads have prevailed. Wisdom. It's a lot of driving for me to go home tonight and come back. And then I've got to go to Danville next weekend. I'll be there. So this Thursday I won't be here, but the next Thursday we'll be back on track. And then Don will be here that following. No, wait a minute. That next Thursday we're not going to have a midweek service, are we? All right, I won't be here this Thursday. The next Thursday we won't have a service because Don Fortner will be here and he'll be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Got it? All right.
Paul Mahan next.
Yeah, Paul Mahan will be here next Sunday to preach. This is something I had scheduled. I canceled 6 appointments, but I kept this one. And then I kept Don coming here on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on August 4th, 5th, and 6th. All right, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, give attention to this. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out, wipe them out, all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, a constant spirit, steadfast spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Enable me to rightly divide the word of truth. Make thy word and make me a blessing to these people this morning. Lord, and help us to worship you. Help us to give unto you the glory due unto your name this hour. This is the reason we've gathered here, to honor thee, to praise thee, and to be instructed by thee. Teach us, Lord, by thy Spirit. Leave us not to ourselves. Lord, we don't want this to be just another religious service, but to truly be a worship service. Let it be known that we are thy people and you are our God. Be with us this morning. Let thy presence be known here this morning. In Christ's name we pray. and amen. The title of the message, A Mercy Beggar's Prayer. This is a mercy beggar's prayer. When I read this psalm, I can feel it. You can feel it. If you know anything of the mercy of God, the grace of God, forgiveness of sins, if you know anything about it, you can feel what David is saying here. This is also a child of God. This is a child of God who's fallen. And I mean fallen hard. He's brought reproach on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. And he knows it. For some time, he actually tried to hide this sin, this fall. He tried to hide it. Look over in Psalm 32. Let me show you something here. You know, the scripture says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. And David, in Psalm 32, listen to this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He knew something about that, didn't he? You who believe God, you know something about that. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now listen to verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. This is the same situation. David tried to hide what he did with Bathsheba. He tried to hide what he did to her husband Uriah. He had him murdered. This is a child of God. This is a... It's amazing, isn't it? And he tried to hide it. And he said, when I kept silent, he said, it just roared. My bones roared within me. It was eating me up. It was eating me up. Until Nathan came along. God sent Nathan to him. He let David stew. And he let David go through this inward torment while he's trying to hide his sin. Trying to hide it. And Nathan comes to him and says, thou art the man. And then that's when David broke and he quit trying to hide it and he fell on his face before God. And Psalm 51 came out of that. Psalm 51. And what we have here is the essence of true repentance. Right here. A real confession of sin. When true repentance happens, there is a real confession of sin. What I am and all that I've done. And we'll see this as we go along. David makes no excuse for it. He doesn't blame God. He doesn't blame Bathsheba. He blames himself. He takes full responsibility. True repentance has never happened until you and I take absolute responsibility for every action. I'm not going to blame anybody in my past, my environment, or anything. It's me. It's who I am. It's what I am. Now let's look at the mercy beggar here. The first thing he says here is, have mercy. He's not going to plead his merit. He's not going to plead his position as a king. David is the king. He's going to plead just for mercy. Unmerited favor of God. David had drank at this fountain before. And he knew this. He knew that God delighteth to show mercy. He's the one that said it. He delighteth to show mercy. God delights to show mercy more than you and I will ever delight to have it. I wish I could get a hold of that. He delights to show it more than I will ever delight to have it. If you and I could grasp what that means, when it delights God, or when it pleases God to do something, that's on a level you and I can't even think on. And David says here, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He's not going to ask God to do something that is ungodlike, but something that is just like him to do. Forgive and blot out. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your, and he doesn't just say mercy, he says your tender mercies. And here's his request. Blot out. Wipe out what I have done. This act of adultery. You know that there was two things given or that could be done, and there was no sacrifice given for it. And David did both of them. If you committed murder, your life was to be taken. If you committed adultery, you were to be stoned. Because David says over here in verse 7, find the verse. He said in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Whatever you would desire, whatever sacrifice I had to make for what I have done, I would give it. But you've not given one. But there is one. There is one. Jesus Christ. He can put away absolutely every sin. Every sin. But blot out my transgressions. Wipe them off the books. You know, it says in judgment, it says the books are going to be opened. And they're going to be judged out of the books. Everything, every thought is right there. And he says, wipe it off. Wipe it clean. And he's not asking God to do something that he can't do. He knows God can do this. David is confident that God can wipe away this vile, this wretched act that he has committed. And then he asks God to do something else here. Blot out my transgression, wipe them away, but also wash me. Wash. Look at this. Wash me thoroughly. Wash me inside and out. My problem is inside. Don't just wash the outside of the cup. Wash me thoroughly. Inwardly. Cleanse me inwardly. That's where all my sin comes from. None of my sin comes outwardly. It all flows from inside and out. Comes out. But wash me. You know, the Lord one time was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, you're not going to do that to me. You're not going to do that. He said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, then, just if that's the case, wash me all over. He said, no, don't need to do that. If you've been washed, you don't need to wash all over. Save your feet. You and I live in this world. We live in a sinful body. We have a sinful nature that's still with us. And it's just as wretched as it ever was. And we need washing. As we walk through this world, as we go through this daily life, I need cleansing. Where, I read it to you last week, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. To thy word. Wash me. You know, the word of God has a washing effect about it. You know that? It does. It has a washing effect about it. And then he says here in verse 3, he confesses his sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. We saw back in chapter 32, he tried to keep silent. He tried to hide it. He tried not to deal with it. You know, time does not put away sin. Not doing it anymore doesn't put it away. I used to tell my mother, when she gave us most of the whipping. And she would give me a whipping, I'd be dancing around. She had a switch, and I'm at it. I was born back in those days when they used a switch. And I had to go cut it. And I'd be dancing around saying, I won't do it no more. I did it again. And I didn't, you know, it's... He says here, I acknowledge my... I did it. I'm not going to make excuses for it. No, I'm not going to lie about it. No, not lying. God knows my heart. One time, me and my brother slipped off and went swimming. Not supposed to. Dad told us, don't you do that. Slipped down to the creek. And goes, well, we did anyway when he went to work. Well, he came home early. And we saw him... car passed by the creek, and we took off running to the house trying to beat him. He got there and he said, boys, you been swimming? We said, no. We were dripping wet. I mean, I look back now, how stupid was that? But that's what, see, it'll dumb you down. It'll dumb you. But we said no, and we're standing there wet. And well, we got it. Lying all. You might as well just told the truth. But David says here, I acknowledge my transgressions. I acknowledge them. And my sin is ever before me. What I have done, David never forgot what he did. He never left his mind. He knew it. I guarantee you, every time somebody had committed a murder, He knew what that was. Every time adultery, he's the king, you know. He probably had to deal with some of these things. He did it. You know, I realized this. This is some time has gone by. I realized that there's a whole host of people in hell that has done the same things I have. Did the same things. Committed the same sins. And why am I not there? The grace of God. That's why I'm not there. He'll have mercy on whom he'll have mercy. My sin is ever before me, but here's what I thank God for. It's never before him. It's not ever before him. It's gone. But now here's the evil. Here's the evil of sin. Against thee. Here's the real evil of sin. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You know he sinned against Uriah. You know he sinned against that family and having him killed. And you know he did. But in comparison to our sins being against God who is holy, there can be no comparison. That's why he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil with you looking on. And basically saying, right in your face. Right in your face. Knew better. But here's what true repentance does. It justifies God. It justifies God in his judgments against me. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. If you condemn me, I acknowledge my transgressions. I'm guilty. You know, you go into a court of law right now, 99% of the time the guy that's guilty says, I'm not guilty. But in heaven, those whom the Lord saves, they say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And whatever you do with me, you're right. You're right. God can do no wrong. We have to understand who God is. God cannot sin. God is light, John says, and in him is no darkness, no sin at all. He's right. And then he gives here the root of the problem. The root of my sin problem is this. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He's not saying that the act was bad, or the act of being conceived was sinful. He's saying the seed by which I was conceived is sinful. We cannot produce righteousness. We cannot produce an offspring that's holy. We can't do that. You know, like, you know, if you go back to Genesis, it always, after its kind, after its kind, we can only produce what we are. That's all we can do. And David says, and what he's saying here, he's saying, I am a sinful man. You know, Peter said that one time to the Lord. He said, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. Sinful man. In sin did my mother conceive me. The very root of my being, he says, is sinful. That's why he's acknowledging it. This is true repentance right here. This is true repentance. And he says here, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God desires honesty. He demands honesty. Inward, in the inward parts. Not just the show on the outside, but on the inside. He said, you desire truth on the inward parts. Well, if I have it, he'll have to give it. If I have any truth in me, any real honesty in me, any genuineness in me, it'll be a work of God. It'll be his work and not mine. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Henry said one time, honest people, and I didn't understand this when I was a young man, but I do now. Honest people don't go to hell. They don't. Because if they're honest, God made them that way. God made them that way. And then David says here, purge me with hyssop. Now, sometimes you want to go back and look at Exodus chapter 12 at the Passover. They took hyssop. When they slew the Passover lamb, they took the blood in a basin. They didn't take their hand and put in it and then smear it on the side post and over the top. They took hyssop. They sprinkled it like that. And that's what David said. Take hyssop. Sprinkle me with the blood. Cleanse me with the blood. That's why he said, purge. Purge. You know what it is to purge something. Clean. Take away this dross. This sin. Put it away. Lord, put it away. He can do it. God can put away my sins. No matter how wretched they are. No matter what I have done, God can put it away. And if you know what sin is, that's good news. And you have to know what sin is to know the good news of that. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. Purge me, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I tell you the thing that I hear, that I can hear in verse 7. Faith. As far as he's fallen, as hard as he has fallen, he still knows. He still has confidence. He still believes that if God will purge him, if God will cleanse him and wash him, I'll be whiter than snow. Even though what I've done is so awful, there won't be a spot against me, a blemish against me. Lord, if you put it away. Now, if I try to hide it and I try to say, well, I'm just not going to do that no more. Well, that doesn't put it away. Repentance. Listen, Repentance over my sins does not put them away. It shows a work of grace in the heart going on, but only the blood puts it away. The sin I'm confessing is the sin Christ died for and was punished for, and His blood was shed for. And it's His blood that was shed for the sin I'm confessing that could put it away. It's already been dealt with. Nathan said to David, "Thou shalt not die." No, but somebody did. Somebody did. And that somebody is God in human flesh. Make me to hear joy. This is what sin does. Now, this is the effect of sin. The effect of it. Make me to hear joy and peace. See, he's down to this point, he's confessed his sins. He's asked God to put away his sins. He's asked God to wash him from his sins. And now he's asking God to make him experience what he's asking for. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let me enjoy that one once again. Sin, listen, as I said in the Bible class, when God shut Noah in, that's our security. We're shut up in Christ by God. We can't lose. And the reason we can't lose our salvation is because it doesn't depend on me. It never did. It depends on Jesus Christ. But I can lose the joy of it. I can lose the joy of it. I can lose the sense of His presence. David said in one place, "Lord, is the Lord clean gone? Heaven seems like brass." Make me to hear joy and gladness at the bones which thou hast broken. A real conviction of sin is painful. It's painful. A real conviction of sin. I have to be careful here, because then we start looking at, have I had this painful, painful experience? Some's greater than others. When we hear of Lydia, it says the Lord opened her heart. But I assure you, after He opened her heart, she began to experience some of these painful convictions of sin. And hide thy face from my sins. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. God can't look at sin with indifference. Hide thy face from my sins. Lord, He's asking, says, speak peace to my heart and don't look at my sins. Don't look at them. Don't deal with me in justice. Deal with me in mercy. In mercy. That's what He wants. And Lord, create in me a clean heart, a new heart, a heart that loves You, a heart that's after You. You know, it's said of David that he was a man after God's own heart. God answered his prayer, didn't He? Create in me a clean heart. That's what I need. I need a clean heart and a right spirit, a constant, a steady spirit, not up and down. A spirit that is constantly and steady after You, Lord, after You. Salvation is God doing business in the heart, and David knew it. He knew it. And cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You reckon when he says this, cast me not away, that he's thinking of Cain? I bet he's thinking of Cain. You remember how he slew Abel, his brother, and God cast him out as a vagabond? He knew, David knew, he was no better than Cain. He killed his brother, took his wife. You know, I can't explain how painful the pain is going on right here. He knew that God ought to cast him out just like he did Cain. Put a mark on him. Put a mark on him. When Peter denied the Lord 3 times. 3 times. You reckon he thought when Judas denied him, betrayed him, you reckon he thought, I'm no better. I know he thought that. Judas goes out and hangs himself. He's called the son of perdition and perishes. And Peter denied him 3 times. And the Lord had mercy on him. You know, that's called sovereign mercy. It's his royal prerogative to do with his own as he will. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways higher than our ways. I can't comprehend what God's doing. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't take away his comforts. Don't take away his instructions, his teachings, his guidings. Don't take that away from me. Don't take that away. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore it. I've lost it. By sin and by trying to cover it up, I've lost it. Put away my sins, wash me, and Lord, let me experience the joy that I have in you once again. Let me experience that again. Then, listen, he says, if you do this for me, Lord, if you do this for me, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. You know the best... Do you know the best preacher there is a sinner? It's one sinner telling another. That's all. God, I don't want God to speak to me by an angel. That angel can't identify with me. That angel cannot, Gabriel cannot identify with me. That publican can. One transgressor can tell another transgressor where forgiveness is found. That woman at the well, he said, you go back. And she went back to town. He said, you go back there and tell them what the Lord's done for you. And she went back to town and she said, come and see a man. Come and see. Here's the best way to witness. Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? That demoniac. The Lord cast out of him all those demons. 12 was a legion of demons. I forget how many there was. But he cast them out and he wanted to follow Christ. No, the Lord said, you go back to town. I'll bet that's one time that he dreaded going back. They put him in a cave and tied his hands and he'd break them. And the Lord cast those demons out of him. He said, you go back and tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. And He did. We don't need to be theologians. We just need to tell what the Lord's done for us. That's all. Just tell what He's done for us. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and then sinners will be converted unto thee. Telling you something about somebody I've experienced. Deliver me from blood guiltness or from bloods. Oh, he said, deliver me from this that I've done. You remember, he sent Uriah out there in the hottest part of the battle. He told Joab, he said, withdraw from him. Leave him out there. Leave him right there. He never forgot that. Although God didn't remember it anymore. He said, deliver me from that. Lord, you're the only one who can deliver me from this. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. You're my salvation. You know, salvation is just that. It's a person. God has become my salvation, David said in another place. God is my salvation. He doesn't just give it to me. He's not just giving me salvation. He is my salvation. And that being so, how secure is that? If God be for us, who could be against us? And Lord, open my lips. Remember he said, when I kept silent, he didn't want to talk. He said, now Lord, open my lips and I'll tell him. I'll tell him what you've done for me. I'll sing your praises. I'll speak of your mercies. I'll show forth thy praise. For thou desirest sacrifice. For thou desirest not sacrifice. I give it. Whatever. But I give it. I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Here's what God delights in. And David knew it. He found it out. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. A broken heart over sin. A broken heart over the one I've sinned against. A contrite spirit, just crushed. I mean, broken. Broken. He said, oh God, that you will not despise. You know why? Because that's of God. That kind of heart is of God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. And then in the end of it, he says, Lord, do good to the church. That's what he's saying. Do good in thy good pleasure to Zion, the church. Build thou up the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. And they shall offer bullocks upon that altar. Worship will be what it ought to be, is what he's saying. Then worship. When God has given us a broken heart, a contrite spirit over sin, we realize the one we've sinned against, and we seek His mercy and His grace, and He enables us once again to sing His praises, to worship Him. That's true repentance. And that brings true worship. To worship God in spirit and truth takes a broken heart and a contrite spirit. All right. Okay, great.